lines, written in India, to my relatives in England. My object is to explain the motive which has induced me to refuse the right hand of friendship to my cousin John Herncastle. The reserve which I have hitherto maintained in this matter has been misinterpreted by members of my family whose good opinion I cannot consent to forfeit. I request them to suspend their decision until they have read my narrative, and I declare, on my word of honour, that what I am now about to write is, strictly and literally, the truth. The private difference between my cousin and me took its rise in a great public event in which we were both concerned, the storming of Seringapatam under General Baird on the 4th of May, 1799. In order that the circumstances may be clearly understood, I must revert for a moment to the period before the assault, and to the stories current in our camp of the treasure in jewels and gold stored up in the palace of Seringapatam. 2. One of the wildest of these stories related to a yellow diamond, a famous gem in the native annals of India. The earliest known traditions describe the stone as having been set in the forehead of the four-handed Indian god who typifies the moon, partly from its peculiar colour, partly from a superstition, which represented it as feeling the influence of the deity whom it adorned, and growing and lessening in lustre with the waxing and waning of the moon. It gained the name by which it continues to be known in India to this day, the name of the Moonstone. A similar superstition was once prevalent, as I have heard, in ancient Greece and Rome, not applying, however, as in India, to a diamond devoted to the service of a god, but to a semi-transparent stone of the inferior order of gems, supposed to be affected by the lunar influences, the moon, in this latter case also, giving the name by which the stone is still known to collectors in our own time. The adventures of the yellow diamond begin with the 11th century of the Christian era. At that date, the Mohammedan conqueror, Mahmud of Ginzi, crossed India, seized on the holy city of Somnauth, and stripped of its treasures the famous temple, which had stood for centuries the shrine of Hindu pilgrimage and the wonder of the Eastern world. Of all the deities worshipped in the temple, the moon god alone escaped the rapacity of the conquering Mohammedans, preserved by three Brahmins. The inviolate deity, bearing the yellow diamond in its forehead, was removed by night and was transported to the second of the sacred cities of India, the city of Benares. Here, in a new shrine, in a hall inlaid with precious stones, under a roof supported by pillars of gold, the moonstone was set up and worshipped. Here, on the night when the shrine was completed, Vishnu the Preserver appeared to the three Brahmins in a dream. The deity breathed the breath of his divinity on the diamond in the forehead of the god, and the Brahmins knelt and hid their faces in their robes. The deity commanded that the moonstone should be watched from that time forth by three priests in turn, night and day, to the end of the generations of men. And the Brahmins heard and bowed before his will. The deity predicted certain disaster to the presumptuous mortal who laid hands on the sacred gem, and to all of his house and name who received it after him, and the Brahmins caused the prophecy to be written over the gates of the shrine in letters of gold. One age followed another, and still, generation after generation, the successors of the three Brahmins watched their priceless moonstone night and day. One age followed another, until the first years of the 18th Christian century saw the reign of Aurangzeb, emperor of the Mongols. At his command, havoc and rapine were let loose once more among the temples of the worship of Brahma. The shrine of the four-handed god was polluted by the slaughter of sacred animals, the images of the deities were broken in pieces, and the moonstone was seized by an officer of rank in the army of Aurangzeb. Powerless to recover their lost treasure by open force,